Changing minds one thought at a time. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Changing Minds Online show. How are you doing today, Jessica?
I am doing awesome, and I am so excited because we have a special treat for our listeners tonight. Tonight is the start of a brand new series for Changing Minds Online. Akina, this was your idea, so why don't you tell our listeners what the new series is?
The new series is First Sunday Superstars, and that's where we have one person each month come on that we find inspiring and wonderful, who has changed their lives for the better, to come on and motivate all of our listeners. And today is our very first show, and I am so honored to introduce to all of you Dr. Sandra Smith. Dr. Sandra Smith is the CEO and owner of Synergy Educational Consulting, and she has a wonderful story that she would like to share with you. So without further ado, hello, Dr. Smith.
Hello, Dr. Finch. How are you? Hi, Jessica. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Good evening.
We are so honored to have you on the show today, and I just can't wait to start in on the first question. Are you ready?
I am.
All right. That is great. Our first question for you today is, before you became the person you are today, what did your life look like?
I think that I could sum that up. We don't have take me probably about a year to tell you all that. So I will give you the short version answer to that question. And basically, I can't say that I had a bad life. Anyone that's read basically we'll get to in a little bit, knows that I encountered what I consider to be some pivotal moments and changes in my life. However, before that time, my life was basically not horrible per se. It was a life that had the presence of God in it, but it was a life that lacked the relationship that developed after I went through those pivotal moments in my life. So I think that what happens as what I'll just refer to as God's children, when we are not obedient to what it is that He has planned for our lives, we will derail. We will crash and often burn. The good news is that there's a redemptive factor there. But before the things that happened to me happened, I think I was just kind of, it was almost as if I was using life as a rehearsal. And I think that everybody that has gone through some things and is more aware of the presence of God and what that really can look like, it's very different after you have gone through some things, so to speak. And it's almost like now I look back and I see my life as not really living, but basically existing. And that's not how I felt at the time. But now, as I reflect upon it, you wake up, you go to work, you do what you're doing, you go to church, but again, the actual relationship is not established and is not what it should be.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I too have been, in a place where I can say, well, my life wasn't bad in the past, and I really made a big change in my life, about a year ago today. And it wasn't that my life was really bad. It's just that something was missing. And, when you feel like there's something missing, you're unhappy and you're unfulfilled. And when you find that you're at a point where, I want to fill that void, that's when your life begins. And what was it for you that was your turning point, that catalyst that made you say, I want something more and I need something different?
Well, Again, for those that haven't heard of the book or know of the book, Choices, which again is a story of my life, and the subtitle of the book basically is My Way Home to Me, which basically, again, as you just stated, you're a little lost. My Way Home to Me just means that I always knew the path was there. I knew what I needed to do, but I made conscious choices to not do the right thing. And the things that obviously ultimately brought me to the place that I am now was to commit two crimes and end up incarcerated, and I found myself sitting in Rikers Island. So that was the pivotal point of the beginning of the change. And I think it's a process. I don't think I don't think you ever really acknowledge where you're supposed to be until you actually deal with some of the things in your past. It's kind of like your past doesn't determine your destiny, but it is something that you need to always have as an indication of where you don't want to be. My dad once said to me, you know, it's always important to know the things that you should do, but it's more important to know the things that you shouldn't do. So I think that, again, for me, obviously being in that situation and having to go through that journey and having to deal with the consequences of being disobedient, which, again, is the subtitle and basically the story of my life, it brings you to a point of having to once again make the ultimate choice. Am I going to deal with this? Am I going to, you know, now that I've crashed and I've burned, am I going to rise from these ashes, or am I going to just bury my head in the sand and decide I'm not going to live? So you have to, once you go through something like that, and I hope that for your listeners that have not purchased the book or have not downloaded the book, it really is a story of redemption, and it's a story of my personal experience with how that works and why it's so important for me to now share that with people, just simply in the hope that they can take something from my experience that may make them think twice about some things they may have been contemplating, some things that they, you know, have somehow gotten caught up in. And, you know, at the end of the day, there's nothing that you can't, pull yourself out of, but it requires a type of thought pattern or a change in the way that you think and the way that you behave and the way that you act and the way that you react that has you walking in a different path, and that, you know, what happened to me in order to make me actually have to change the way I think.
Wow, that is powerful, Senator. That is very powerful. So I'm interested in, how has your life changed since that point?
I feel so free, but not necessarily free as in walking out of a prison cell. I feel that the freedom came before that. I feel that having to hide things and lie and not even be honest with yourself, it's very draining. And being able to just have everything out there, and the process of writing the book was very cathartic, and it was very freeing for me because there's nothing to hide. I mean, it's all out there. It's everybody that had the question and the rumors, you know, can read the book and now know the answer to the questions and the rumors. The book is not a tell-all. The book had a purpose, and I was instructed to write the book by a higher power than a human nature. But the purpose was to be able to do this, was to be able to say to people, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter anything. Nothing matters except you being obedient to what you know is right and what, you know, there's something to those little voices. You know, people say, oh, you know, I should have listened to myself. And actually, it's not yourself that you should be listening to. It's the other voice. And for me, it's the voice of God that you have to listen to. Everybody has that. Everybody has that intestinal fortitude. But until we learn to listen to it, we have problems. We're not able to walk in, again, what I consider a freedom, a home, a peace, a place where, you know, it's not a place of happiness. Is a place of joy, and there is a distinctive difference between those two things. And to be able to have the actual joy where you can just wake up every morning and be thankful simply for waking up, the little things in life and the ability to understand how important life is, because all of our lives are a gift, and until we're able to understand that and walk in the purpose of that gift, then we're not free. You know, whether you've actually physically been behind bars or not, you have not experienced the ultimate freedom.
That's really amazing. And, you know, what I really love is you really kind of saying is that, you know what, you have the choice. And in Changing Minds Online, you know, what we talk about all the time is that at any given point, a person really does have a choice to make their life different. And it doesn't matter what you've done or where you are or how much money you have or education you have or whatever your past mistakes were, it's really irrelevant when you're creating the future. You know, at any given moment, you can say, today, I'm choosing to create something different, and that can be a reality, and you can live into that new purpose. So, you know, for someone who is sitting here today and listening to you and saying, wow, you know what, I want to make that choice today. I want my life to be different, you know, just like you did, Sandra. What advice can you give them? You know, what can they do? How do they go about making that change? And what does that mean for them in their lives?
What it meant to me and what I feel that it means to everyone, as I said, it's so simple to me now. You know, again, I used to have a mentor that would say to me all the time, you know, it's so simple that it's complex. And the simplicity of it is deciding. The simple part is for me, again, developing that relationship. And the first step in that is just praying and saying, you know, I really need some help here. One of my biggest problems was that I had not developed the ability to actually have conversations with people and express to them how I really felt, what I really needed. I didn't know how to say no. I didn't know how to not try to please everybody. I was a people pleaser, and I was not listening to, again, what I was being instructed to do. I was doing what I felt like I needed to do. Therefore, again, I was walking in disobedience as opposed to doing what I knew to be right and doing what I knew I was supposed to be doing. So making a conscious decision, to me, is the first step. And being able to say, you know what, I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to be in a... you know, it can be as complicated and as difficult as, I don't know, an abusive relationship. I don't want to feel like this. I don't want to live like this. I know that I was created for something better. The understanding, sometimes that comes with reaching out to people that are specialists. in that area, sometimes it requires you to, again, go within yourself and just basically acknowledge the things that you know to be true and that you know to be right. Sometimes it requires, you know, a friend. It can require a pastor. It can require a neighbor. It could be a complete stranger. It could be calling, again, on the psychological community for help. It depends on the individual, but what I can say to everybody in making that choice is that you really have to go deep. You have to go inside, and it's in there. It's in everybody because, again, for me, I believe that God created all of us, and so, but you have to be able to ask for the help. You have to be able to say, hey, I was great. I was very good at hiding everything. I had a facade. Everybody thought everything was great. Everybody thought, you know, I was happy. I had good jobs. I, you know, was promoted. I had education. I had everything. But as you just said, it doesn't matter. It means absolutely nothing if you're a miserable person. And so you have to first be able to acknowledge that there's an issue. You have to be able to really be honest, because without being honest with yourself, you're not fooling God. He knows the issues. It's us not being able to articulate to others and ultimately to our Creator that there's something wrong here and I need help. So for me, the answer to that is acknowledging it and reaching out to someone to be able to help you.
That's great advice. You know, a lot of us are stuck on step number one. I mean, personally, I was stuck on step number one for a long time. I did not acknowledge that I had other things that I needed to focus on before I could really move into my purpose. But once I realized that I was worthy of the purpose, then everything started going well. So acknowledging the problem is definitely a good first step. So, Sandra, please tell us about synergy and about choices.
Well, synergy basically has been around for several years, and it was basically I've always wanted to be self-employed, and I recognized several years ago that there was a need to assist people with some of the things that I had been doing for years that other people obviously did not have the experience in. So Synergy is basically, again, as it states, an educational consulting company where I help individuals to write grants for funding, because I have several years of grant writing experience, help small businesses that don't know how to apply for certification for states. They don't know how to do the 501c3 process. I had the honor of working with a good friend of mine on charter schools, so helping to write charters, helping to write curriculums, pretty much anything that has to do with education and business, that's what Synergy is. Choices is a story of my life, and it is what I, again, believe that I was instructed to do 5 years ago, and again, as that really stubborn person that I am, I decided not to listen. Plus, it was just really painful because I started writing the book, again, as everyone knows that knows about the book, but for those of you that don't, I started writing this book, again, behind the walls of a prison, and it was basically a coping mechanism for me. It was my way of trying to shut out what was going on around me, and that's really why it starts with the day I was born, because that's how I began to reflect on my life, and that's how the change actually began and was birthed there at that particular point. So I would every day basically just write about experiences. The difficulty in getting the book from those pages to what we have now, which is Choices the Book, was that I had to then take all of that out of a place that it had been buried, and then I had to actually get into pages, which meant I had to read it over again. So it was almost reliving the process as I was writing it or typing it. So that was really, it wasn't easy for me to start. But once I began to actually write it, I realized, as I said, that it wasn't about me. It was never about me. Yes, I was the one that made the choices that had me where I was, but ultimately the result of that was being able to put this book together to say to people, again, that doesn't matter. Everybody makes bad choices, and everybody from time to time does things that they know they shouldn't do. Some a lot worse than what I did, and some obviously not nearly as bad as what I did. But ultimately, we make choices. You know, I've had people say to me, well, some of us can't make choices. Well, you make a choice every day. You make a choice whether, you know, when you're going to eat. You know, maybe you don't have any money, and so in your mind, I don't really have a choice because I don't have any money. But, you know, choices, again, are something that we don't, a lot of it is not even on a conscious level. It's things that we do that we choose to do. My choices, I was actually manifested and resulted in having me at a place where I think that, again, I constantly say that I am at a place where I can take my mess and turn it into a message. And if I'm able to do someone anything that can encourage them, inspire them, start their mind to change the way they think by sharing my experience, then this book, Choices, has obviously done what it's supposed to do in my mind. And I'm so honored at some of the responses, all of the responses, actually. But people have sent me very long emails and very long inbox messages. So what the book is doing is it's allowing people to begin the healing process by saying all of those things that they've wanted to say, that they've held inside for all these years, and somehow they're able to connect to what I went through and say to me, you know, I didn't go to prison, but I didn't have the experience that you had, but. And so once you have that out of you, then you can begin the healing process because it's not there. It's not blocking you. It's not blocking your blessing. It's allowing you to go and begin the change process, and it begins the healing process. So that's what Choices is. It represents my life, not, you know, clearly not every part of my life. It's not a tell-all, but it basically shares those, again, pivotal moments of my life that have brought me to the point that I'm at now, which is to serve, hopefully, the purpose of allowing people to begin the healing process.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And, you know, I really think that you just shared a lot of beautiful things with us, and I'm really thankful for you to being so open and honest and, you know, really about how you made your change, and you know, it's really great. So, you know, if you could give our audience one piece of advice to take away tonight from this conversation and from your experience, you know, I know everyone should get your book and read it, and I'm actually excited to read it myself. But, you know, if you can kind of break it all down into one sentence, what would that be?
Learn to live your life based on the grace of God and not yourself.
Yeah, that's amazing advice, and I think that's advice that we all would benefit from living into. So thank you so much for being on our call tonight and sharing with us your story. And, you know, you certainly are someone who's worthy of being on our Superstar Sunday series. And, you know, this is a time when we're going to look and we're going to say, you know what, these are people who have changed their lives. And at Changing Minds Online, we do believe with all of our hearts that everyone has the ability to change your life. And no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, you can say today, my life is going to change. And you do that, like you said, it's a thought process. It's changing your minds one thought at a time, as we say, you know, every day, just thinking and trying to be a little better than you did the day before. So thank you so much. It was a pleasure to have you on our first Superstar Sundays call. We're almost at that time where it's about to end our call, but Akina, is there anything you want to add before we sign off tonight?
Yes, thank you so much, Dr. Sandra Smith. Can you please tell the people where they can find Choices?
Absolutely. It was, again, thank you so much. It was such an honor to be here. But Choices is it's on Amazon, so Amazon.com, Choices by Sandra Smith. It is available for download. It's available on paperback, and it's also available at BNN, which is BarnesandNobles.com, paperback only.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. I have had the honor of reading the book, and I was deeply touched by the words that you said in the book. And I want to thank you for sharing your story because, you know, a lot of people were touched, and you cannot help people if you hold it inside. So I applaud you for being able to have the strength and the courage to put your story out there so that many other lives could be changed.
Thank you. It wasn't me. It was to him, his to glory. So, you know, he uses us. He's used me, and I'm just honored to be the conduit for him and his message.
Oh, wonderful. And if anything that Dr. Sandra Smith has said today has touched you, please get this call at Change Your Minds Online. We're also on iTunes, Podomatic, and you can also get us on the Android and the iPhone app so you can listen to us 24 hours a day whenever you need that moment of motivation.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I said this last time, too. Thank you so much, Akina, for that app. Runners, it is amazing for our workouts. It is just perfect. So listen to this app on your workouts. Go back and listen to all our shows if this is your first one while you're doing your runs. All right, everyone. On that note, thank you again, Sandra. God bless you. Have a great night, everyone, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, everyone. We appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Good night.